The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Live from Pop's Donuts, this is National Donut Day, and we are excited to be here at Pop's Donuts, North Shore Drive and Morrell Road. I've already had a chocolate ice cake donut. I've already had a red velvet donut. I have not quite had a dozen yet, but we're not off the air yet. So we've got plenty of time to get that figured out. And there's an apple crunch with caramel icing donut that I had about a fourth of that we're sharing here. Goodness, these are good. Right now at Pop's Donuts, you can stop by here. Fantastic giveaways all day long with Pop's Donuts. They've got, you just sign up for it quick and easy. You can do that right here to win so many great things from Pop's Donuts. And when you do buy here at Pop's Donuts today, they're open until 5 o'clock. They're giving a portion of the proceeds to CASA of East Tennessee, that's court-appointed special advocates. What they do is represent the best interests of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases. So a fantastic organization there. And also Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue. So whenever you're here, you're raising money for those two great charities at the same time eating delicious, delicious donuts. Here at Pop's Donuts, if you've never been there, stop by and see us here today. We're here until 9 o'clock, but they are open until 5 o'clock today. That is Pop's Donuts. If you didn't pay attention, I know right now everybody's kind of paying attention more to the hard news, but what we're seeing right now are college football programs bringing players back into the fold this week to get ready for next week, things to open back up and then to get into some voluntary workouts. Some teams, we've seen two teams who have already seen a number of their players test positive for COVID-19. Yesterday, the report came out that the University of Alabama, at least five players have tested positive. Two skill position players, one lineman, one quarterback. They are not symptomatic yet, which was different because at Oklahoma State, they had four players, I believe, that tested positive, and they were considered asymptomatic. This isn't asymptomatic. This is not symptomatic as of yet. So it could be an issue if it's still in the incubation period. They don't know. But Alabama with five players, Oklahoma State with four players testing positive. Eric Kane, that is a big concern, is when these guys go from wherever in the country that they might have been staying during the quarantine, they get back onto campus, they're in close quarters in the dorms, you do worry about the spread of COVID-19 in such on surfaces and things like that with guys coming in that may be asymptomatic carriers or actually just not symptomatic yet, right?
Yeah, it is a concern, and that's kind of been the thought process when colleges and universities across the country are kind of going through their plans for the fall. Do we need to allow student-athletes back on campus? Do we need to continue on with our online courses? How are we going to do athletics? It's just a large amount of people in close proximity quarters, and even though you're doing social distancing measures, even though in workouts you can do a lot onto the field, you can you can spread out, you can do a whole lot of conditioning that way. You still have a lot of guys, in one place. So it is a concern for sure. It's just, what we were talking about with Adam Litton, it's not really unexpected, though. We kind of expected this to happen. It's how you combat it, because I do feel like this is kind of the new norm. And then hear me out, too. You obviously chart this, you keep track, and you keep track of the numbers. And if there's a significant spike, then you absolutely will have to maybe, think about regressing a little bit, but I do think this is kind of the new norm. So is it something alarming that we should be freaking out about? No, but obviously worth paying attention to.
Yeah, that is going to be the thing. Like when you look at how this works with how this gets handled, that's going to be the big thing. We knew these positive tests were coming. So how do you handle it from there? I have concerns about the way that it's going to be handled with some schools. Like Alabama is leaking it out there. I'll just be real. When you see this many outlets in Tuscaloosa and Birmingham all confirming exactly the same news, Alabama's making sure the public knows that this is happening.
No.
Without violating anybody's HIPAA rights. Oklahoma State straight up told everybody. We've had some college programs who have said they're not going to, and they've not said who they are, but I guess they have the off the record or anonymous ADs have said, and college football officials have said, we're not going to test unless somebody is symptomatic. That's horrendously irresponsible when somebody gets there. Now, maybe tough at those schools to be able to get to get the number of testing, because some states are still behind a little bit when it comes to testing. But I think that's horrendously irresponsible. You've got other programs who have talked about the fact that maybe we, we're not going to isolate the players while they have this. That's also horribly irresponsible. This is my concern. My concern was the same concern I think that Philip Fulmer had, which is you bring them back at the beginning of June instead of waiting until the middle of June. We're seeing the way that this is flattening big time because the heat's here. Well, why not wait 2 extra weeks, let this thing get knocked out, and then start bringing these players on? I also think that we need uniform sets of rules to say it's a public health issue. In the Southeastern Conference, when you bring your players back, they get, if they do test, you test everybody. If you don't test them, they don't get to walk on a campus. You test them when they get there. If they are, even if they're asymptomatic, if they do test positive, they are quarantined for at least 2 weeks, and anybody around them is quarantined for 2 weeks, and then that way we can have the college football season. Look, the goal is not about did you get workouts in at the beginning of June so that everybody feels like we're going to have football season and everybody feels better. It's not about morale boosters. It's about playing football games, meaningful football games in the fall, and not having it. Remember where we were a month ago? Mm-hmm. The conversation was we're not going to have football this fall, and even I'll just tell you, somebody I know who was a worked at a very big time university told me their thought process. I don't think it was Tennessee's thought process. Tennessee knew it was on the table. Their thought process was there's no way we play in the fall. We're going to be playing from February until June. And so we're less than a month removed from that being the prevailing sentiment within the sport to some extent, to now we could have fans in the stands. It ain't going to happen if everybody's irresponsible. And that's my concern, Eric Kane, is that people are going to be irresponsible because they don't understand, and they think that being truthful and showing that they've had positive tests shows weakness instead of understanding like a grown-up does to know that actually shows that you have strength.
Well, I mean, that's how you get past it in the end. I mean, it's how you take the necessary steps in order to move past this whole pandemic is you got to be truthful and upfront with your testing. And I mean, goodness, you've got to. It just shows you how rapid the situation has been, to whereas a couple weeks ago we were talking about, are we going to have college football? Are we going to be playing in front of no fans? To here we are, students are back on campus getting ready in the SEC for workouts. Tennessee did release its return to campus policy for student-athletes. You're talking about how some schools aren't making things public and aren't trying to keep things hush-hush on how they're going to handle certain types of situations. You know, Tennessee, and a long list of things that they're going to do, some highlights. They're going to be tested. Students, when they get on campus, are going to be tested twice for COVID-19 upon arrival. Masks have to be worn inside the facility. I believe when you're outside and you're doing conditioning, that's when you can take the mask off. But also, you're going to be screened daily, and I think that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to, you know, you're seeing a lot of local high school students, local high school football players in the area, you know, before stepping foot in the locker room or into the weight room, getting their temperature taken. You have sanitation stations all throughout the weight room. You're seeing social distance. You're seeing a lot of, and I didn't mention this in hour number one when we were going over this, but you're seeing a lot of the, you know, the equipment, the weightlifting equipment coming out of the weight room and onto the turf field. Now, you can't move a squat rack, and that you can't move a bench press, and that's where I think it's going to be coming to close quarters. Because, Will, if you're going and you're benching, you know, your normal 400 pounds for 5 reps, and I'm sitting here spotting you, you're going to be exhaling in my face. And, you know, squatting, at least you're pointing in the opposite direction. But a lot of your work you can get in, and you can really maintain proper social distancing, and you can do it outside as well. So,
yeah, the lower body, you'll be able to get that work in.
Yeah.
You can work on explosive stuff, deadlift. Do you want squat? Yes. But your lower body, you'll get in with explosive stuff, and guys will be strong. The problem's going to be that upper body stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The bench press, the incline dumbbells,
yeah,
the shoulder press, all that stuff. When you need a guy there, you know, very, very close to you as well. So again, I'm not a strength conditioning coach. I don't plan to be. I didn't go to school for it. Didn't take the classes for it. But I have been around it a lot my entire life, so I know that will be an issue. But Tennessee, along with a lot of other schools, have released these policies. These are the guidelines. They're going to be very strict with it. And if you follow these guidelines, I think it will limit it. But again, we're going to be naive to not think that there will be some positive tests out of this.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The key is, how do you handle it after the positive tests? Because they're coming. And it looks like Alabama, Oklahoma State are handling it the right way. Some of these other schools that have spoken off their, you know, anonymously, it's saying we're not going to test unless there are symptoms, or we're not going to quarantine guys because we need to make sure we're trying to get herd immunity inside of our dorms. You're a bunch of idiots. And
yeah.
I'm concerned you're going to screw it up for those of us that know how to act like grown-ups.
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing, though. you're out there doing squats. You can do it in small groups, right? And you can do it in groups of 13 or 15, and you can rotate who comes in the squat room at a time. We've got those bleach wipes these days where you wipe it down, you wait 15 minutes, then you bring it back in. So you can do those things where you can still go get your squats in, working in small groups. Just make sure you test everybody ahead of time. That's the goal. I hope that it gets handled responsibly, and I do have concerns that it's not going to be.
And again, one more thing real quick. I know I mentioned a couple of days ago, but I want to use this platform. Again, shout out to all the high school coaches in this area. Y'all are working your absolute tail off right now as students are returning. High school coaches, you know, normally you just football workouts, especially at the high school level. You split the team in two. You have a group come in the morning. You have a group come in the evening, and you get them all done. And, you know, while one team's lifting, the other section's out there running. You can't do that right now. You're having to bring in these kids in groups of 8, 10, and sometimes these high school coaches are staying from 6 in the morning until 8 at night just to get these workouts back up and running. You gotta love kids to be a high school coach to begin with, and running thin right now with these workouts. So shout out to all the high school coaches in the area doing an outstanding job.
Absolutely. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Time now for a Tennessee Lottery update on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee football class of 2021 commit Nate Evans has flipped from the Vols to NC State. The defensive back had been committed to Tennessee since November. Tennessee still ranks number 2 in the country for the class of 2021 with 23 known commits. The NBA Board of Governors officially approved a 22-team season restart set to begin July 31st in Orlando, Florida. The vote passed 29-1 with the belief of the Portland Trail Blazers being the lone team to vote no. Teams will begin training camp in Orlando starting as early as July the 9th. The league also announced the NBA draft lottery is set for August 25th. The draft will be October 15th, and the 2020-2021 NBA season likely will begin on December the 1st. The NHL and NHL Players Association have agreed that the qualifying round of a 2014 playoff tournament will be a best-of-a-five-game series, and all four playoff rounds will be best-of-7. The two sides also announced that the tournament will not be bracketed. Instead, it will be reseeded after every round. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said the league is still on track to have training camps open in July. It's 8:14. We're going to check out the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Live from Pop's Donuts, it is National Donut Day. Stop by and see us here. If you've never had Pop's Donuts, it is delicious. It is very inexpensive, and man, it's just great. Great people here as well. If you're looking for coffee on your way to work this morning, they've got honeybee coffee here for you. Cold brew, they've got the drip coffee, they've got it both for you here. Something, you know, if you're bringing the kids, looking for something to do with the kids today, bring them by Pop's Donuts for National Donut Day. A very inexpensive thing that you can do with the kids. It's just fantastic people here as well. And remember, whenever you're shopping here at Pop's Donuts for National Donut Day, you've got two different great charities that you're benefiting with the proceeds going today to Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue and court-appointed special advocates, which they're the ones that represent the interests of children in juvenile abuse cases and neglect court cases. All right, so we missed this earlier in the show, and I just saw it from last night in the New York Times. Mark Emmert, in a call to congressional Republicans on Wednesday, told them that he anticipates the college football season to be shortened. So, man, that's some awfully big news to kind of fly under the radar right now. But New York Times with the report. It is Alan Blender and Jonathan Martin with this report, saying Mark Emmert told the congressional Republicans in a call on Wednesday that the expectation is around Labor Day, the start of the college football season will happen at the regular time, but the conference championship games will be played by Thanksgiving. So are we looking at a 10 or 11 game schedule possibly? I don't know. Are you just getting rid of the bye week and we're going to go just bam through that and guys are going to play 13 weeks straight? Because that could absolutely have an effect on this season. Or are we going to kill some cupcake games? And you're going to see teams have to cancel cupcake games to be able to get these conference championship games in by the time we get to Thanksgiving, Eric.
Well, the Thanksgiving is the last week in November, 26th this year. Is it the 26th? It's the last Thursday in November. Is it always the 26th?
No. It's always last Thursday.
That's an elementary school question, but I thought I'd bring it on air. So I think the way the calendar lays it out here, if you just take out the open date, then I think you could get everything in, because that next weekend would be conference championship Saturday. Now you would need the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Let me take that back. You would need the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
That would be Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm assuming that's what he's talking about. Before. When he says before Thanksgiving, I think that he means Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah,
being done.
So if you take, but you would still need a championship Saturday. Does that mean championship Saturday is included before that? I don't know. And if that's
that would be that weekend that he's talking about. That, and he really says by Thanksgiving. So I'm assuming he means that Thanksgiving weekend we'll see conference championships. I will just say, you want to see a season affected and people's seasons just get derailed by injury and things like that. Don't have a bye week.
Yep. You played. I mean, you know, the bye week, for fans, it's miserable. You look forward to that bye week because you need it. You absolutely need it. What your body goes through, especially, you know, after a tough game playing in the SEC, you need that. And just by, 4 or 5 weeks into the season, everything hurts. You're not 100%, and you're not going to be 100% after taking it. It's not an off week. You still practice, but not having a game that Saturday, it's not like you're going to get it immediately better, but it does, help your body heal just a little bit more. And so you need, and especially you might have injuries earlier in the season to where you set them out for 2 weeks, you get that bye, they're ready to come back in and play that next week. So college football players absolutely need it. And plus for coaches too, it's a time to sit down, reassess, and it gives you a jump start on the next couple of games on your slate there you can work on during that off week too. So it would be a horrendous idea to do away with the bye week. And I love the fact that Tennessee had 2 bye weeks, or college football had 2 bye weeks last year.
I think you should always do that.
Yeah,
every year
sure. They
should do that. I would rather you go an extra week or have an extra week between championship week and or 1 week less between the championship week and the bowls. You have like an eternity between the bowls and the championship week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes you wonder if they're moving up because if their concern is, here's what this tells me. Congress is concerned that we're seeing in the fall and when the weather gets cold, we're going to see a big second spike of coronavirus. If that is, and so they're trying to, this is clearly Mark Emmert trying to quell Congress's concerns and to get them to say, hey, let us play football, let us have fans, we'll have this thing over before the weather really gets cold. It makes me wonder, are they going to move bowl games up as well?
I mean, I would think they would have to in that situation, if that was the thing, yeah.
Or do you just cancel a lot of the bowls that don't really matter and you play the bowls in the hot area, in warm weather states?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was going to say,
ESPN owns them all. You know what I mean? So
a lot of the bowl games are in Florida or in California or in Texas, and so it's where
some are in Boise, some are in Detroit, some are in Ohio, some are, you know what I mean?
And so
Nashville?
Can you play in a
Nashville
dome
in January?
No.
The problem surfaces, right? So the key is outdoors in hot areas.
Yeah.
So you can play in Arizona. Do you move bowl games to Texas and Arizona and Florida?
That'd be a thought.
Yeah, so here's the thing. ESPN owns all these bowl games anyway. Schools take a loss on it for the most part outside the college football playoff and a few of the big bowl games, but a lot of these bowl schools take a loss on. So I do wonder, are we going to see a bunch of bowl games canceled this year if there is a second spike of COVID? But this is very interesting that Mark Emmert trying to let Congress know that he expects the college football season to end early. Goodness, look, for me, if you're going to end it early, kill those cupcake games. I mean, I know you want to get some players, young players reps and things like that, but especially if you don't have full stands anyway, you're not making all that money off of those cupcake games. Mm-hmm. Get everybody to buy out of one or two of those. And if we're going to do it, let's do a 10-game season. Let's give these kids a bye week. We'll finish a week early and then try to get everything done. So that's how I hope that we see this work out. Now let's get rid of the bye week and let's try to go make college kids play 13 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I would agree. Do not take out the bye week. You've got to have that bye week.
Yeah, absolutely. 656-9900 is your phone number. Star Bench Cut is next. It's 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, I'm Ball for Life, Bobby Scott, and we're counting it down. It's just
92 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
How about our buddy Bobby Frick stopping by? I appreciate him dapping it up with us here at Pop's Donuts. It is National Donut Day. You can swing by here to Pop's Donuts. Get yourself registered. Win great prizes with Pop's Donuts. They're also donating a portion of proceeds today to both CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. They're the ones that represent the children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases. It's a nonprofit group that does that. And the Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue. So really cool charities that you can benefit here. But just by stopping by and buying some delicious donuts at a fantastic price right here at Pop's Donuts. Eric, if I had to say it right now, true or false, or love it or leave it, we'll do it that way. College football will play all 12 regular season games this year, love it or leave it.
I'll love it.
So you think all you don't think they're going to shorten the season?
No, I don't. I don't think they're going to shorten the season. I mean, I know there was a report yesterday from the New York Times, but I haven't seen the game a whole lot of traction. This would be the first. You know, I heard, you know, rumors that like a month ago when we were discussing this, maybe they'll start later or maybe they'll play in the spring. I never, you know, envisioned it would be cut down short by a week or two. So, you know, as of right now, I'll say I'll leave it.
Yeah, my concern is this. If they don't do what they can to try to shut the look, either you control it or it controls you.
Yeah.
My concern is they go in, guns blaze, and everything's going to be fine. We're not going to cut back anything. Fans are in the stands. And then we have to shut this thing down in the middle of November because, in a way, we don't want to, right? That is my concern. Now, I hope that we get all 12 in and we get the conference championship game and we get the national championship played in the playoff. Bill Hancock says the expectation still is the January 11th will still be the national championship game in college football. But Emmert telling congressional Republicans Wednesday he expects the most conference championship games will be done by Thanksgiving. That is a little bit of a game changer, and we will see how that works out. I will say this. Good on Congress for trying to say, okay, what's your plan? How do you have a plan in place, and what's this going to look like? So good on Congress, at least, for trying to make sure there is a plan somehow, some way. 656-9900 is your phone number. Time now for Start Bench Cut.
How do you rank them? It's time for Mary... The FCC says we can't do it that way. Let's play Start, Bench, or Cut on the starting lineup. Powered by Heritage Realty, locally owned and operated with over 50 years of experience in the Knoxville market, where today's technology meets traditional customer service. Heritage Realty.
All right, Cannon, what do you have for us, buddy?
All right, Max Kellerman says hockey is no longer one of the four most popular team sports. Most popular team sport behind the big three. The big three, of course, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, or auto racing.
I will start hockey-ish. I will bench auto racing. I will cut soccer.
All right, so team sports.
They just did 3 million to watch Bristol the other day. There's not a soccer match that's going to happen this year that's going to have 3 million people. Now, the U.S. women's national team, the last time they played the World Cup final, drew 21 million. There aren't two NASCAR races put together that are ever going to draw 21 million. So that's why that one's a little bit tough. But week in, week out, it's really close. But if NASCAR today, NASCAR's pulling better numbers than Bundesliga, so that's why I put NASCAR ahead of soccer.
Yeah, I'll go the same way. I'll start hockey. I'll bench NASCAR, and then I'll cut soccer. But I think here in 5 years, that can change drastically.
Yep.
CBS Sports ranks Tennessee as having the second toughest schedule in the SEC this year. Toughest opponent on Tennessee's schedule, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma.
I will start Bama. I will bench Oklahoma. I will cut Georgia.
I think Tennessee's toughest opponent might not even be in this running right here. I think Florida's,
really. So who do you think? You think it's Florida?
I mean, I think Florida's going to be really good.
Okay.
I will start Alabama. I will bench Oklahoma. I'll cut Georgia. But I mean, it's starting Alabama is easy. Georgia and Oklahoma are really, really close.
Yeah, I agree.
Tennessee plays Georgia in November. We've talked about that. I think that's a potential upset alert for Tennessee. But man, that's close. That is really, really
close.
I'm
going to need to see them keep it to three touchdowns first. Like, I hate to say it. Like, I mean, I know, like, last year when we pooped all over the Browns, and I was like, let's see them get to 500. You know what I mean? Like, and then we'll have a conversation about winning the Super Bowl. I feel that way about, man, Georgia did whatever they wanted to against Tennessee last year.
Yep.
So I'm going to need to see Tennessee keep it close against Georgia before I'm calling that upside like so many are.
That's fair. It's National Donut Day. Best donut filling, cream, custard, or jelly?
Normally I would start custard, bench cream, and I would cut jelly. The French cream here is so good, it pops, so I start now cream, I bench custard, I cut jelly. Now that the custard's not great, but the French creams is at a completely different level.
I think that is the correct answer. I think cream is far and above the number one option there when it comes to donuts. So I would start cream. That's the route I would go. I'd bench custard, and then I would cut jelly. But all three are just amazing, especially at Pops. Jake Fromm made headlines yesterday for reasons that were not great. Best recent Georgia quarterback, start bench cut, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Murray, Jake Fromm.
Okay, if we're talking about what they were at Georgia or just how good of a quarterback they are, you get two different answers.
At Georgia.
Aaron Murray was better at Georgia than Matthew Stafford was. Matthew Stafford's been a top 10 quarterback for a dang decade in the NFL, but Aaron Murray was better than Matthew Stafford at Georgia. So I start him, I bench Stafford, I cut Jake Fromm. You want somebody to check down to running backs all day? Jake Fromm is your guy.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford's the number one overall pick.
He was. Now, look, as far as who's the best player,
yeah,
it's Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
But who did the most at Georgia? It's Aaron Murray. I mean, did he go 4 years of 3,000 yards passing?
Yeah, I looked up last night. Would you say that Jake Fromm, in terms of just being the best player, Jake Fromm's ahead of Aaron Murray?
No.
Okay. At Georgia, I will start Matthew Stafford, I'll bench Aaron Murray, and I'll cut Jake Fromm.
Now, I will say this. Jake Fromm has far more physical talent than Aaron Murray is. He does not have Aaron Murray's discipline.
Yeah.
And so I do not think that he's – and Aaron Murray's a better football player than he is so far.
Aaron Murray was a good college quarterback.
Really good. Aaron Murray's an impressive dude, too. If you ever just talk to Aaron Murray, that dude maximized everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some guys make it and some guys just are – don't quite have enough. He was that guy that just didn't quite have enough to be an NFL player. But, man, he was a really good college quarterback, and he maximized his value.
Today is Mark Wahlberg's 49th birthday. Best Wahlberg movie, Star Bench Cut, Lone Survivor, Invincible, The Departed.
Well, you left off Boogie Nights, I noticed. I will start The Departed by a country mile. I will bench Lone Survivor. I will cut Invincible.
Not a big fan of the puff pieces.
No, I don't. So here's the problem: because of Rudy not being real, I don't buy biopics anymore. So I don't watch any of them like that. When I was a kid, I loved Rudy. I thought it was the best thing in the world. I wept the first 11 times I watched Rudy. I counted. I wept. And then once I found out from Joe Montana and Dan Patrick showed none of it's real, I don't watch biopics. Period.
I'll also start Lone Survivor. I mean, his performance in that movie was just spectacular. I will bench Invincible because I'm all about the feels, and I'll cut The Departed. You're right. I mean, there's so many great films. I'll just pick those three out. All right, last one. Biggest NFL storyline during training camp. Start bench cut Drew Brees in the locker room. Tampa Bay, TB12 in Tampa Bay, or Jadeveon Clowney and Cam Newton's whereabouts?
I'm going to start...
It's still Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, I'm going to start Tom Brady. I'm going to bench... I'll bench Clowney Cam, and I'll cut Drew Brees.
I think that's the way I would go as well. Not that... I mean, what Drew Brees said, what Jake Fromm said, it's going to blow over. That's how... I mean, that's just how everything is. Things will blow over. The news cycle will cycle
look,
in and
these
out.
These are grown, man. Here's the thing. They'll go fight before they let this be a thing that gets into September. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll just go fight. This ain't the NBA. It's the NFL.
And you're already seeing teammates, Alvin Kamara, you know, among many that have come out and said, I talked to Drew. I listened to him. He apologized. We discussed things. Now we're moving on. And that's, I mean, regardless of any type of situation, any type of fight or tiff or whatever you want to call it, that's how you should do it. I mean, you should talk about it like men, okay, move on. If you have to go outside to Tyler Robinson saying get a little rough, that's fine. Then, you know, come back in and move on. And I think that's what they did there. So it's going to blow over, and I think the locker room and Drew Brees are going to be just fine. So I'll start Tom Brady because it's been the story of the NFL this entire year. I'll bench Jadeveon Clowney and Cam Newton because when we're in camp, I mean, someone's going to get a hurt. It's how it always is, saying, Clowney's still available. Newton's still available. And then I will cut Drew Brees in the locker room.
Yeah. That is Star Bitch Cut, brought to you by Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com, a boutique firm that focuses on you, the client, over the needs of the sales pipeline. They're specifically impressive when it comes to property management. Treating your property as if it's their own, maximizing your investment value. That's Heritage Realty. We'll come back with the final segment of the starting lineup for the week. My last segment for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be on News Talk next week, filling in for Phil Williams, and then I'll be on furlough the week after that. So last segment that I'll have with you, Kaner, for the month of June, actually.
Man.
Coming up next. Yeah, it is the starting lineup of 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee football class of 2021 commit Nate Evans has flipped from the Vols to NC State. The defensive back has been committed to Tennessee since November. The Vols still ranked number 2 in the country for the class of 2021 with 23 known commits. NASCAR announced by virtue of a random draw, Chase Elliott will start on the pole for Sunday's race at Atlanta. The league also announced it'll run its annual All-Star race July 15th in Charlotte. 24/7 Sports is reporting at least 5 Alabama football players have tested positive for coronavirus since returning to campus this week. Voluntary in-person athletic activities are set to resume on SEC campuses June the 8th. And the NBA Board of Governors officially approved a 22-team season restart set to begin July 31st in Orlando, Florida. The vote passed 29-1. With a belief in Portland Trailblazers being the only team to vote no. Teams will begin training camp in Orlando starting July the 9th. League also announced the NBA draft lottery is set for August the 25th. The draft will be October 15th. That's 3 days after a potential Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And the 2020-2021 NBA season likely will begin on December the 1st. 8:43, we're going to check out the roads, the interstates, with the eye in the sky, Mr. Pete Michaels. Pete Michaels traffic, good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
His high school yearbook quote was, "Just because it's a bad idea, that doesn't mean it won't be a good time." Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Final segment of the week of the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Will West, Eric Kane here with you live from Pop's Donuts. It is National Donut Day, also known as Happy Day here where I'm come from. It's right here in Rocky Hills where we are. Pop's Donuts, if you've never been here, the price for their donuts is fantastic. Their donuts are spectacular. And they have great coffee as well, honeybee coffee. They have drip coffee or cold brew. But my favorite is the chocolate cake with chocolate icing. Or the chocolate ice with the French cream inside is just spectacular as well. I had a red velvet donut that just despite Eric Kane earlier. But we'll make sure you get a red velvet donut to get sent to you before this is all said and done, Eric Kane.
You can people.
Yes, so we'll make sure we send a dozen donuts there with engineering to make sure that everybody gets taken care of there at the office. It is National Donut Day. When you come here to Pop's Donuts, you can get signed up to win fantastic prizes here. Just stop by and see us. And they're donating a portion of the proceeds to CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. It's a nonprofit group. They're the ones that represent the best interests of children in juvenile abuse and neglect court cases and the Little Ponderosa Zoo and Rescue as well. So great people that they're helping here at Pop's Donuts. You can come by and see us, North Shore Drive and Morrell Road. You want the red velvet? Is there another special request that you have, Kaner?
I mean, a maple bacon wouldn't be the worst idea in the world, so I'd be okay with that.
There you go. There you go.
So but maple bacon. Is there an Oreo there as well? Or?
There is also an Oreo.
So, I mean, if we're splitting hairs here, can we get the red velvet?
Look, I'm not asking for a lot. All I'm asking for is a red velvet donut, a maple bacon donut, and an Oreo donut.
No promises
and
that
let me try that French cream that you're talking about, right?
I won't eat them all in one sitting. I would never, ever do that.
It's absolutely delicious. So stop by and see us in Rocky Hill at Pop's Donuts. I will tell you, there's... NBA yesterday voting, there's still forward momentum and positive momentum for most leagues getting going again. NBA yesterday, their board of governors voted 29-1 to have the plan that Woj and Shams have been breaking down over the last few weeks, which is 22 teams that show up to Orlando. They play at that Wide World of Sports complex. They have, you'll have... still 16 teams making the playoffs, but if teams are close enough that you may see a play-in game or two to figure out who that 7 and 8 seed is, depending on how close it is.
And again, Will, it would have to be one of those situations to where it's double elimination for the 8 seed, single for the 9 seed,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yep. So they would have to sweep two. Yep. To be able to get there. That's the only way that they would happen. And the NBA Finals would be played somewhere around October 12th. Major League Baseball? Not trending in that direction, but they are still talking, which is better than we can say even 2 weeks ago. So they are talking. Tony Clark, the other player union head, said, no dice on that. We want some more concessions, especially with safety with COVID-19. We don't know what those concessions are, what the safety issues might be that they're referring to, but that was something that they said that they wanted there.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I feel like, you know, this whole baseball conversation has been going on for about a month now, and I feel like there's just no significant progress being made on either side. You get one side putting forth a proposal, get shot down in resounding fashion, and so that's kind of where we are right now. But again, Tony Clark sent out a memo last night, and he says, we are still in talks, we're still in communication, we're still trying to find a solution. So that's encouraging, I guess. But as we pointed out last hour, I mean, we're moving on. This is June the 5th. Okay, we got to get some plans in place in order we can, because, I mean, baseball, even more than hockey, even more than basketball, football is off the table. But you've got to have these. I mean, these pitchers cannot just go out and play. You've got to stretch the arm out. These starting pitchers need weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of throwing. And, yes, they're still throwing right now. They're still staying ready. But they're not going up against live competition. They're not playing simulated games. Baseball needs like 6 weeks, really, before you can play one game. You're not going to get that. So it's a bad situation to be in. But as Tony Clark, leader of the MLPA, did come out and say, we are still talking. So I guess that's kind of encouraging.
Yeah, it is. So the one thing that I would say, too, is my concern is that if baseball really – and I don't know if – like we've seen so many bluffs from owners that have been repeated by reporters. I'm not trying to rip them. But that's just part of it. Sometimes reporters are just going to report what they've been told, and that's their job to do that. Sometimes it doesn't mean it's necessarily accurate, right? And you got to pay attention. That's why it's the good ones that can decide whether they're doing the job or not. But everybody's saying this, so I'm going to assume it's true. For them to play by mid-July, they had to get it done now, right? They had to have it done by the end of the week, and it's not going to happen at the end of the week. So if I had to ask you, which gets played first, a Major League Baseball game or an NBA game?
Man, I hope baseball, but I'll say baseball. I will say baseball.
Which would mean in the next 2 weeks they get a deal done and they start working out.
I'll say baseball. It's going to be tough. I know it looks really bleak right now, but I can't imagine not seeing baseball this year, so I'll say baseball.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll say it's the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
And they get something done about two, because I don't think they're going to get it done and be ready to start in 2.5 have testing in place and all those things in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's what it would take, was they would have to be ready to start, have testing in place in 2 weeks for them to have the time that they want for spring training and then get everything set up for them to start playing games without fans.
Plus, you have the fail-safe. If worse comes to worse, you have the fail-safe of 50-game regular season when you could start that, mid-August almost, and still be okay. I mean, you would prefer to get it started earlier, but you have that fail-safe of 50 games, but the players want to play more, obviously, because you play more, you get paid more. The owners want to play more than 50, but do not want to play 114 games. So it's a whole thing.
And just think about what they're missing right now, because NASCAR is out there running without fans. Like, I like NASCAR, but you got to be honest with yourself. NASCAR's been hemorrhaging audience for years, and they're pulling huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so very nice numbers for NASCAR, even on cable.
Was it
Bristol? Yes. Well, a lot of it, too, and Kozlowski said it. It's because they don't get all that practice time. So you're seeing more mistakes made out there, and guys that are good drivers are going to take advantage of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that that's been part of it. The other thing with it, too, is that you're seeing, like, I think Bristol was the highest rated race ever on FS1 this past weekend. That's all. Like, so if you're baseball, you have a chance to grab a hold. You haven't been America's pastime. You haven't been the sport of summer. You haven't been that in years, decades, frankly. And you had a chance to become that again, and right now you're just sitting there wasting it.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity, and when you're seeing the NHL having a plan, the NBA having a plan, college football progressing, golf is back, next weekend golf is back, you're seeing UFC, NASCAR, you're seeing all these teams and all these fan bases stepping forward, and everyone's just kind of looking back, laughing and pointing, baseball, what are you doing? It's a joke. I mean, it's a missed opportunity, and it's quite embarrassing for the league, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely is. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Again, Pop's Donuts, North Shore Drive and Morrell Road, right there on the corner. Stop by and see them. Get signed up to win these fantastic prizes they have at Pop's Donuts. We're off the air now. Eric Kane and Brian Rice are coming up next, but they are open until 5 o'clock today at Pop's Donuts. Stop by, get signed up. Remember, proceeds benefiting two great charities when you buy here at Pop's Donuts for National Donut Day today. Thanks for everybody for listening. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.